May it please your court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Todd Wirtz, and I represent Patricia White as the claimant appellant in this case. We come today to urge this court to reverse the decision of the Labor and Industrial Relations Commission denying benefits to Mrs. White following the death of her husband. We bring 2 points before the court today. First, that the commission applied the wrong standard by its overuse of the prevailing factor standard in parts of the analysis where prevailing factor does not apply. Secondly, we ask the court to reverse because the commission explicitly ignored competent evidence provided by Mrs. White regarding her observations of Mr. White in the week and day prior to his death. Taking the first point first, in 2005, the statute was changed. As we heard about in the last case, parts of it were abrogated, including the definition of an accident. Prevailing factor was inserted in very limited places. Prevailing factor is part of the analysis of did the accident, or was the accident the prevailing factor to cause the injury. Prevailing factor does not have a home in the question of whether the work caused the accident. Those are two different parts of the issue. And so what we have now is a tripartite analysis. Does the work cause an accident? Does the accident cause an injury? Does the injury cause a disability, or in this case, death? What the commission did was short-circuit that, and you can see that off the bat in their opinion, because they actually reversed the ALJ on the question of accident and found there was an accident because Mr. White died. But the death isn't the accident, that's the disability. And when you check the first box with the fact that goes in the third box, it's all messed up at that point.
Well, when there's a health issue, is it both the accident and the injury?
No, Your Honor, it is not. In this case, in language also matters here. This is a cardiac case. This is not a heart attack case. This is a case where Mr. White suffered a bout of ischemia that caused his heart to fibrillate, which is the injury that caused him to die. Ischemia comes from the strain of work. It comes from strain. It comes from an imbalance of the heart not being able to meet the demand to supply itself blood. That's different than the classic heart attack, as both of the doctors explained, where you throw a plaque inside the artery, throws a clot, and that clogs up the works and then causes a heart attack. We know that Mr. White did not have a heart attack from the autopsy. There was no scarring on his heart, and there were no clots found in his heart. And from a legal perspective, it's kind of the easy one. Both the doctors agree on this one. They agree that he had an ischemic event that caused the fibrillation. And that becomes important because the question is whether or not the work could cause an accident, which we know is a strain or a traumatic event. Here I would submit this falls under the strain category. And what were the factors that led to that strain? He was working. It was undisputedly extremely hot. He had been working. It was his sixth work day of the week in these hot conditions in an unair-conditioned tin building. He was wearing a hard hat. He was wearing a long-sleeve uniform. He was wearing steel-toed boots while he was nursing, not part of this case, but another work injury where he had hurt his foot that was causing him continued pain. All of these factors added to cause the accident.
Are you saying the commission could not have found that while there was that evidence, I know the other side cited countervailing evidence, why was this not a matter for the commission to weigh and balance and make a determination on?
It absolutely was, in our position, is a matter for the commission to weigh and balance that evidence. The issue, however, is the commission, throughout its opinion, looks at things from a prevailing factor. Was the work, the factors I've just listed, the prevailing factor to cause the accident? That's not the test. That's too high of a burden. Because the question, if we look in 287.808, is that the default burden of proof is more likely than not.
So you're saying we should remand for them to provide was the work more likely than not related to, was the accident more likely than not related to the work? And then there's a second question, which is, was that accident the prevailing factor in causing the injury?
Exactly that, Your Honor. That's exactly the error that was made. And it comes out, and when we look at Commissioner Chick's dissent that he entered, Because you have two very different analyses that are done by the majority of the commission and then the dissent. The majority looks at it, well, he died, so there's an accident. Well, do we have medical causation? And then evaluates the case using the prevailing factor of did the work cause the injury, comparing the opinions and weighing the evidence of Dr. Farrar and Dr. Schumann. However, they're weighing the evidence against the wrong standard. One of the questions that might be raised is, well, can this court just affirm a finding denying benefits if there's substantial evidence to support such an award? The answer in this instance is no. That we can't do that because the weighing of the evidence is the finding of facts. Here we worry about the law. The commission has to worry about the facts. And the facts in this case were found utilizing the wrong standard by the majority of that commission. Commissioner Chick, on the other hand, followed this court's instruction on looking at risk factors and determining whether or not an incident is arising out of the work, and followed the correct analysis and would have concluded that there was sufficient evidence.
In your view, what was the accident?
The accident was the strain that he suffered that day that caused him to suffer ischemia.
Now, wait a minute.
Sure.
Is it the ischemia or is it the strain?
It is the strain.
So
which manifests itself. Go ahead, Your Honor.
And what is the injury?
The injury is the fibrillation.
Okay. And then the disability is death.
That is correct, Your Honor.
How does strain, and by strain we don't mean stress, I assume you mean just doing the work.
I do not mean just doing the work, Your Honor. I mean everything that went into that day. That he was, and there's testimony from the doctors on this, that ischemia, as I said, is an imbalance, it's a supply-demand imbalance. And so the question becomes, ultimately, if we look at the Western District's League opinion, which is kind of the only other cardiac case post-2005, and the League case finds, frankly where I got this analysis, that the ischemia is the accident, the fibrillation is the injury, and the death is the disability.
But you just told me ischemia wasn't the accident, the work was the accident, the stress or the demand of the work.
I suppose the accident is the strain of the work caused the ischemia. So if I blundered over my words, I apologize.
Because you said the strain was the accident.
Correct. And the strain is what generates the ischemic event.
Can you analogize it to a more familiar thing, like if you cut yourself or something?
I would like to, Your Honor. If we look at a standard fall case, okay, is the accident when you step on the clod of dirt, or is the accident whenever you actually fall? Well, the accident is when you fall. Now, the clod of dirt is what causes the fall. And here it is the strain that causes the ischemia, which causes the strain is, I suppose, the beginning of the causation chain. But it is the ischemia that analogizes to the act of falling, because ischemia is the act of the heart coming out of balance on the supply and demand. And so the causation chain in the analysis becomes important. And why is it important to not just use the lump shortcut of medical causation that we frankly have all used for years, stemming back from before we changed to prevailing factor? And the best analogy I can come up with on that is if you take an incident of a worker who cuts their arm. It's a work-related cut in a meat factory. The work caused the accident. That accident has caused an injury, a cut. The worker goes to the hospital, gets stitched up, goes home. But the cut becomes very infected because of something that he picks up at the hospital. Results in having to have an amputated arm. The work did not cause the amputation. The accident, the cut, caused the amputation. And because therefore, it becomes necessary for us to bear in mind the order of operations here. Of the work causes an accident causes an injury, and then the injury causes the disability. The other point at issue in this case is that the commission, in a footnote, very explicitly ignored the testimony from Mrs. White of her observations of her husband, the night before he died. That working in the heat was having an impact on him. That it was having a strain. That he was coming home more tired than normal, more sweaty than normal.
And of course, the commission would have a right to ignore that and find that not persuasive. But you're saying they thought they couldn't consider it?
That's correct. The commission took the position that anything dealing with the days and weeks prior would only fall under the issue of an occupational disease analysis. And that's too broad of a reading of the occupational disease statute. Here, this is a specific event that occurred on the day Mr. White died. However, it analogizes to a worker who, let's say, works in a quarry lifting large rocks, who tears his shoulder when he's lifting such a rock. The fact that he had been lifting rocks for 16 hours a day, or in this case, 12 hours a day, for 5 days before and was tired, the muscles and the ligaments were tired, that's relevant as to why this one strained his arm. It's not determinative. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's evidence. And it's evidence that the commission specifically excluded. And why it becomes important, we again see in the dissent from Commissioner Chick, who pointed out that the expert testimony from Dr. Schumann can be supported by other lay evidence. And there is a body of other lay evidence from the other coworkers that were working that day, describing that it was hot, from his own supervisor, who started out that day warning all of the employees to be careful for heat-related injuries and illnesses. It was undeniably an unusual circumstance that day that caused a strain in this case. And for those reasons, we would ask that this case be remanded, as the Court of Appeals did, and sent back to the Commission for findings of fact using the appropriate analysis under 287, 020, and 120.
And in describing the accident, you have described it as both the work and the environmental stress.
I believe those are one and the same, Your Honor. Yes.
Much like when you're saying if you tore your shoulder lifting the rock, the accident is the stress caused by lifting the rock. Is that the accident, or is it the injury to your shoulder caused by the stress of lifting the rock? And semantics here get confusing.
They do, and they're important. May I respond? I know it's not. Thank you. The lifting is the accident. The torn rotator cuff is the injury.
Okay. And so here, by analogy, what is the accident?
The ischemia, the heart going out of balance, and then the injury is the fibrillation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, what the counsel for the claimant fails to address either in his oral argument or in his brief is that before the ALJ, the parties stipulated that the causation issue, the third issue, was whether work was the prevailing factor. Second of all, the medical evidence of both of the employer's expert and of the claimant's expert was also stated in the language of whether work or non-work related factors were the prevailing factor in causing the...
Well, of course, you can't stipulate to something that's different than the law.
Right.
So,
but those are the two things.
Where does the statute bring in prevailing factor?
In the Leakey case...
No, but the statute, how does the statute use the term prevailing factor?
The statute says that an accident is not based on causation. An accident is simply an unexpected traumatic event that can be assigned to a single work shift.
And what is the prevailing factor? Where does the statute use
prevailing factor? Appears three times. It appears in 0.3 paren 1. It appears in 0.3 paren 2a, and it appears in particular in this case in 0.3 paren 4 when it says that a cardiovascular disease, which is what we're talking about here, or myocardial infarction, is an injury only if the accident is the prevailing factor in the resulting medical condition.
So prevailing factor applies into whether the accident is the prevailing factor in causing the injury.
Because
opposing counsel is saying you're also using that to decide if it's work-related, which is a different issue, isn't it?
What the commission in this case decided was that obviously if I collapse right now or you collapse right now, that is an unexpected traumatic event. So that's the accident. But then you have to go on and determine, and this is what the Leakey case did, and this is what your court did implicitly in the Malam case in 2015, it has to decide whether the medical condition, that is, my heart attack, my resulting medical condition, was that the result of work activities or conditions, or was it the result of non-work-related activities, specifically pre-existing coronary artery disease. In the Leakey case, that was the exact issue, and they said the fact finder, the commission, has to make a determination which of them was the prevailing factor. In the Malam decision, which you decided in 2015, a correctional officer did a takedown of a prisoner, and he suffered a hypertensive episode. Under claimant's analysis, that's it. There's no prevailing factor analysis because he had a hypertensive episode at work, and it's therefore that is not only the accident, but it's the injury and it's arising out of. But what this court did was it looked at the evidence and it ruled in favor of the claimant because it had an expert medical doctor that said that the prevailing factor was the takedown and the non-prevailing factor was his prior history of his prior pre-existing condition. And that's what this commission did. Under the claimant's analysis, the Malam decision doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't need any expert medical evidence because I suffered a heart attack at my desk reading a brief. That's the accident. And then under his theory, I died because of that heart attack. That's the injury.
But aren't you conflating? The statute does permit you to recover for a heart attack. So you could never do it under your formulation, could you?
Under my formulation?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. And we're all having trouble with the word accident here in the context of a heart attack. And you're saying accident and medical condition are the same. But, I mean, the test is, the accident has to be the prevailing factor in causing both the medical condition and the disability.
Yes.
So what was the accident here? What was the medical condition and what was the disability?
The accident was the unexpected traumatic event. That's what the commission found.
Which was what?
Which was the individual collapsed.
Well, he says it was the ischemic attack. That was the unexpected traumatic event caused by lack of blood flow. That was the accident.
Right, and then the issue...
That's not the collapse. The collapse was as a result of the injury, but it wasn't the accident, is what is opposing counsel's argument.
Well, you still have to get to the question of what was the cause of the ischemia. The claimant's counsel...
The stress related to work is what he's saying.
And that's what his doctor said, but the commission didn't adopt his decision. We had the autopsy report, which showed... three severely restricted coronary arteries plus a heart that was about double the size. The autopsy physician concluded that he died as a result of severe coronary artery disease. We presented the medical expert of Dr. Farrar, who said that he did not believe that work activities or conditions, specifically the heat, was the prevailing factor, and he concluded that the prevailing factor in causing the injury was the pre-existing severe coronary artery disease.
And did they address that there was no injury to the heart muscle, but that it was a lack of oxygen which caused defibrillation? Did they explain
this? Yes, Judge, but okay. The issue is there's a number of reasons why you don't get enough blood flow to your heart. One reason, which was the claimant's expert's theory, was that it was the heat in this unair-conditioned shed. The autopsy report and our doctor said, no, when you have three severely blocked arteries and your heart is almost double the size, which is cardiomyopathy, That is what causes the ischemia. There's not enough blood flow because my arteries are blocked. And so the issue was whether work was the prevailing factor in that, or whether non-work related activities.
Did the just so we understand the parameters of your all's disagreement, because in a lot of things you agree. Opposing counsel says the commission erroneously thought they couldn't consider any surrounding circumstances, such as the heat and such as the prior day's heat and work and so forth, in reaching their determination on causation. Could they and did they consider that here?
We don't know. What we know is that the commission said that, as in the Malam case, what causes one to have a cardiovascular event is not a matter of lay testimony. It's a matter of expert medical testimony. Which
sure,
is
but
decision.
Do they consider all the circumstances?
And so what the court said was that his theory, his expert medical theory, was that an injury by accident, that is, he focused on that particular morning. The court, we do not know, because the commission is just a supplemental opinion. It's not a complete restatement of all the facts that it considered. So we don't know whether it or not it considered her testimony. Second of all, on that testimony, as I pointed out in my brief, it's contradictory or between what she testified in her deposition and at regular trial. Third of all, the fact that she noted that he was fatigued on the night before the accident doesn't necessarily reflect that he was fatigued because of heat. It could have been that he was fatigued precisely for the reason that the autopsy report shows, that he had three severely blocked coronary arteries and his heart was enlarged. And fourth, Judge, neither of the medical experts relied on any of the testimony that her statement, they did not find it significant. What he also fails to point out is there's plenty of evidence contrary to what she testified to, which was the co-employees that morning, several of them who testified that they observed no unusual, that he was not complaining of any issues, any stress, he wasn't working any unusual activities, and in fact, the last he was seen, he and a co-employee were sitting down eating lunch between 11 and 11:30, no work, and at 11:45, he's found collapsed on the floor. So,
could I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm misperceiving the argument made by the appellant, but my understanding is it's not disputing that it is not claiming error in the commission's resolution of disputed facts. Rather, it is claiming error in that the commission applied prevailing factor to determining whether there was an accident, rather than in determining whether the accident was the prevailing factor in causing the injury.
That's actually not the case, because the commission, it was the ALJ that arguably made that position, that error, because it found that there was no accident. The commission found that there was an accident and then applied the prevailing factor to whether the cardiovascular disease caused an injury. And that standard is whether the accident was the prevailing factor in causing the resulting medical condition. And so the question there is, did he suffer a ischemia, a cardiac arrhythmia, and then death because of the conditions in the workplace, which would have been the heat, or was it because of a pre-existing severe coronary artery disease? And they resolved that factual issue in favor of the employer and against the claimant. And he does not argue that there was no, that was not substantial competent evidence. He's alleging that they applied the wrong standard, and I'm saying that they applied the correct standard. And you can see that in the Malam decision, in your Malam decision, where they said, no, actually, the only medical expert that the commission found
to be having accurate facts, actually did say that work, that is the takedown, was the prevailing factor in causing the hypertensive episode as opposed to pre-existing disease. Under his analysis, there's no room for expert medical evidence. I collapsed at work, that's an accident, and the accident caused me to die. So where does the prevailing factor come in, and where does the expert medical testimony come in? So that's the position. On that second point relied on, I addressed it at length in the brief, but again, he's just picking out one fact that he thinks favors him and isn't pointing out the other facts that don't favor him. And there's absolutely no, I mean, the record on appeal is like 1,400 pages. I'm sure that the commission didn't cite every fact in my favor. It didn't even cite Dr. Farrar's report or his opinions. So you just can't know, based on their brief summary of the facts, whether her testimony was considered, and I don't believe that that testimony was significant in any event in the greater circumstances of the case. But the final point that I was trying to make was that the stipulation that the parties entered into and the how the expert medical witnesses stated their opinions is based on the fact that that was leaky. That's how the court decided what the standard, the prevailing factor standard is in a cardiovascular disease case. And I believe if you read the Malam case implicitly, it also applied that standard. You have to determine whether work or non-work conditions and work activities versus non-work activity, things like pre-existing disease, you have to decide whether that was the prevailing factor in causing the injury.
Or causing the accident, didn't it?
Not causing the accident. The accident is simply that there was an unexpected traumatic event that can be tied to a single work shift. So, as I said in my brief, if I stand here right now and I am working for my law firm, I drop dead right here, I have an accident. But my widow would have to come up with expert medical testimony that the commission found, the fact finder found persuasive, that the prevailing factor was the stress that I've experienced, the strain of having to appear in front of you, versus my autopsy shows that I've got severe coronary artery disease and I was a heart attack waiting to happen, that the blood flow through my heart was restricted, not because of the strain of appearing before you, but because there was so much blockage that my heart simply, at some point, wasn't going to be able to pump enough blood to keep me alive. So I think that if you look at it carefully, the claimant's position is denigrating the principle that expert medical testimony would be necessary in a cardiovascular disease. You cannot determine the cause of that without, whether it was work or non-work, without expert medical testimony. He's the one skipping that point. So I believe that the commission's decision should be affirmed based on the substantial competent evidence standard, based on the correct legal standards being applied. See Leakey, see Malam, see the statutory language, and that the significant material facts were determined, and it was for the commission as fact finder to make that determination. This court doesn't sit to challenge or to overturn those factual findings.
Thank you. Your time is up.
May it please the court. Mm-hmm. The Malam case is instructive. The Malam case is very instructive for the point that the question of whether there was an accident or not was undisputed. It was undisputed that the takedown was the accident. The question, therefore, was the medical question of whether that takedown was the prevailing factor to cause the hypertensive event, the injury.
Here, the question of did the ischemia, the accident, cause the fibrillation, the doctors actually agree on that. Where the doctors disagree on is what causes the ischemia. But the doctors both agree that ischemia caused the fibrillation was not stopped in time or interrupted with a defibrillator, and it caused the death. On that point, the doctors actually agree.
Where does the pre-existing condition come into the analysis in your view of the way it's interpreted?
In a cardiac case like this, the pre-existing condition is going to come into play, frankly, in two places, just being very blunt about it. It's going to come into play both in the accident and at the injury analysis. Mm-hmm. It's going to come into play of the question of was the ischemia, meaning the imbalance between blood flow, was that the prevailing factor that causes the fibrillation, or was it the case that it was that these arteries were just clogged so much that the clog causes the lack of blood flow? And it comes into it in the accident in evaluating whether or not the ischemia arises out of the work. As Judge Stiff questioned, asking me to kind of pick something a little bit easier to talk about, the cardiac injuries they're not familiar. And an ischemia is importantly different than even the classic heart attack. A lot of emphasis was put in respondents' argument on the autopsy and the degree of clog in the arteries. I would commend the portion of our brief comparing Mr. Leakey's compensable arteries to Mr. White's arteries. In every category, Mr. Leakey was in way worse shape than Mr. White was, and he was compensable. But that's weighing the facts. That's for the commission to figure out. But the question before this court is to make sure that the commission is using the right standard, to make sure that the law is being applied properly. Our legislature has given a good deal of quasi-judicial power to the commission.
And are you basing your suggestion they did not on this one sentence that said, we conclude that employee's work activity of June 30, 2012 was not the prevailing factor in causing his heart attack and death?
That is not the only part. That is certainly part of it.
And what should they have said there if they wanted to find for no liability?
I think under their analysis, they should have found there was no accident, which is what the ALJ did. In fact, may I conclude my answer?
Please.
Thank you. When I argued this at the commission, that's what the argument was about, was whether there was an accident or not. And then the commission says, well, he died, there's an accident, and did this other thing. The action in this case is on the question of whether there's an accident or not. But that question, the prevailing factor, has no place. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.